Oh, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Oren Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol AUG, also traded on the NYSE under the symbol AUG, chatting with the executive chairman, Ivan Bebek. Now, Ivan, there's a number of points that I've been getting emails about, and I know the market, investors generally, are wondering, first and foremost, dealing with Peru and the DIA that the company has been working through. For anyone that follows companies in Peru, these DIAs have taken a while to get done, and as far as I know, it's still in the works for you guys. Can you give us any updates here, first and foremost, please?
Sure. It's great to be back. Happy New Year, everyone. We've actually had an extremely busy last 3 weeks right through the holidays. I think Christmas Day was my only day off. We've had major advancements with our DIA in Peru. We're waiting for our final DIA. We're anticipating within a week from this interview, so very soon, imminently. I believe we've cleared all the observations that we'd been given. So that's really encouraging for us, as we think we're at least 2 months or so away from an actual drill permit in hand. And, you know, although our DIA seemed like it took some time, we applied at the end of June. This will make it about 6.5 months to potentially obtain our DIA. And that being said, you know, that would be the record time in the last 2 years of somebody getting a DIA in Peru. And I think, Corey, the excitement in the project is what drives less patience for a permit in Peru, which is arduous. It's not as easy as other places, but being at the end of that process is an awesome way to start the year. So we're very encouraging and expect to have the DIA in January, followed by our full permit at some time between now and March or April at the latest, the drill in hand.
Okay, can you share with us what still has to come then after the DIA?
Yeah, there's something called a consulta previa. It's a social permit, and it involves the government advertises for 30 days. This will start on the day after the DIA is achieved, and they advertise in the community to see if anybody's home or farm or something's impacted by our drill permit plan. And if no one contests it, which we don't anticipate anybody doing so because it's completely away from everybody and everything, then the government will come and visit the community the following weeks afterwards, and they'll ask the community what they think of us. And if the community is of the same opinion that they are with us right now and share that with the government, then we would most certainly get that social permit quite quickly. What's actually happened as well in the last month or so in Peru for us is we've been gaining a lot more potential access for neighboring communities on multiple targets that we've been trying to get to. And the first community we've dealt with, we've done a tremendous job with social agricultural programs, and there's a lot more we're going to do going forward. This has resonated extremely well, not only with this existing community, but with additional communities. So not only are we looking forward to getting our DIA and our first drill permit at Sombrero, we are also looking very forward at having, you know, at least 18 to 24 months of places we can continue to drill on some of those new big targets, such as Neok, Good Lucky, Totora, Amacha Makai, that we've been talking about as of lately. So, you know, a pipeline of drill-ready targets that get drilled sequentially was our goal. And it's been a very long 6.5 months waiting for this permit, but it'll give us, you know, a couple years of drillable targets into this rising commodity market. So really well timed and very close to starting.
So what are some of your thoughts when you can actually get a drill on the ground of how you're going to attack both what is already known at the Sombrero project, but also some of these new targets as well?
Well, the new targets are, you know, they're all fairly similar style targets with windows of exposed copper and gold on surface, right? If you look through our presentation, some have incredible high grades right on surface. Other ones, you'll need to do some geophysics. But, you know, we think that the first permit we're going to be drilling is 25 drill pads at our Sombrero main target. That would be, you could drill 3 or 4 holes off each pad if you want to, fan them out. But that would be the first program that we do, and then we go to something called Neok. We would have 15 drill pads there, and then for the other targets we're talking about, we've applied for a much bigger permit that would follow suit, and by the time we're finished drilling the first 40 pads, we'd be looking for this what's called a semi-detailed EIA, which would give us access to drilling all of these at free will. So you know, we don't have a set amount of meterage. We have to wait and see what happens when we start drilling, but we'll likely fund ourselves so that we can drill at least 15 to 20,000 meters once we get started, which will give us a lot of time to make not one, but multiple discoveries, or to mitigate our risks of drilling. And maybe it's a second or third major target that really delivers, but the goal would be to be intelligently financed so that we can take all those swings properly and keep the drill turning consecutively for big discoveries.
Okay, so hopefully soon we get that DIA news, and then you move forward with the final steps for that drill permit, and then get drills on the ground, and who knows, March or April. Let's also talk about Curibaya as well, because you had news out in October, late October, that talked about some high-grade silver and gold samples. Any progress that you can update us with here?
Sure. You know, so far, it's a large-scale epithermal alteration system, right? It's got several multi-kilo silver samples over a 16 square kilometer area, which has us scratching our heads a bit on how incredibly rich and the grades are for silver, as well as gold that we're seeing too now. You know, this project was a combination of a divided concession zone by multiple parties. It came together by one entity, and then we had the other half, and then that entity had run out of money, became a hearing aid company out of Australia. And so we bought it for a very nominal price. However, when we went sampling on it and you saw some of the results, we just kept finding ridiculous high grade silver, and over, you know, 16 square kilometers, the footprint's really big. So everything about this is large scale and it's high grade, and it's silver that we think will zone into gold and might have a potential major porphyry nearby as well, because this is on one of Peru's largest mining trends, you know, as well as the Sombrero project. This is a bit closer to the coast. So I think for Curibaya, we're about to resume work here momentarily. There's some pending results that we did in the winter or in the fall. Really, it's become a spectacular project because of the grade and the scale that we're seeing. If you haven't heard about Curibaya, if you like silver, large-scale silver or gold projects, just go have a look at our presentation. We've summarized all the samples that are above 200 grams silver. I think there's 55 of them, up to 14 kilos silver. We've shown the map that shows how well distributed those are. And what you're looking at here, Corey, is a bunch of feeder systems that are coming up. And these are really, truly bonanza grades. I think we're, you know, a lot of 5 to 10 kilo, up to 14 kilo silver. And if we start drilling those on feeder systems in a big system with multiple feeder systems, it's truly an anomaly. You don't see things like this. Mother Nature just doesn't give that kind of silver grade over such a widespread area. So, you know, super exciting project. It's just getting introduced. A lot of news to come from there at the same time as we get through this final stage of our drill permits at Sombrero.
All right, so it sounds like you guys will be very busy in Peru, and Peru is very much, I think, the focus this year of a lot of the exploration, but you do still have these other projects. Let's quickly talk about Homestake, because, you know what, there has been some pretty good news coming out of some of the other companies in the Golden Triangle. When it comes to Homestake, what can we expect news flow out of Auren Resources this year?
Sure. So Homestake, incredible high-grade gold-silver deposit in the Golden Triangle. When we first got it, Corey, we unlocked the metallurgy. And a lot of people were puzzled by why we think it's worth a lot more than they thought it was. But, you know, unlocking the met made value to the gold and silver that are there. We've done some exploration. We've spent a lot of time looking at areas where it could get bigger. But, you know, we've been kind of battling with an internal opinion of how much value is there and an external opinion that wasn't really realizing that. So what we're doing is we're working towards a PEA. And if we can put one together here at the end of Q1, early Q2, we think that at current metal prices, you know, it could be potentially extremely robust. And then the numbers that we were excited about when we were pointing value towards it could be realized by many others as well. And, you know, going into a better gold market, it's a project that's, you know, really hard to find. You can't find 1.2 million ounces of 8 grams gold silver equivalent in many parts of the world, let alone the Golden Triangle, which we all know could be substantial going forward. So it's a project that's going to get more mature with us at the end of Q1 into Q2. We think the value is going to be substantial. And then Committee Bay, you know, as you know, we had a major targeting breakthrough last summer. Where we're at with Committee Bay is we're just going to identify how many of these targets have that same geophysical signature that's determining high grade. And for the benefit of everyone, what we've been drilling up there successfully has been gold, but the decimal's been in the wrong place, 0.67 versus 6.7 grams over 30 or 40 meters in a lot of these holes we've drilled. So the big breakthrough was we figured out the proper signal in our geophysics to go target the high grade. And so hopefully we can put together 10 or 20 targets along the belt. And then in 2021, you know, as we go deeper into this gold bull market, and this most certainly is a gold bull market project, then we could work towards putting together a big drill program at that time. But you know, the theme of our company this year is going to be efficiency. We do have a major focus in Peru, which is relatively lower cost. Working on all Canada and Peru at the same time has drawn pretty big burn rate, but right now our capital requirements are a lot smaller than people think, and we're not going to overfund ourselves as we get into this bull market. And so we're going to be very, very diligent with our financings, which we're not far away from right now, but we're going to be, you know, specific on who we take on as shareholders as we have been in the last few years. I have talked about spinning the company as a management team. We're starting to consider, you know, Canada as a standalone opportunity. Homestake and Committee Bay would be a great Canadian high-grade gold story that could grow. It could sell Homestake. It could fund itself. There's so much optionality there. Sombrero, no question, is a district which could have multiple mines being found on it. We think it's the extension of that Las Bambas belt. So it stands alone on its own 2 feet, no question. And then Curibaya, it's the only one we would like a bit more conviction, which we'll have over the next 3 months as we do our geophysics and continuous surface sampling. But, you know, we truly see ourselves as three companies in one. And we see, you know, going into a bull market, either we split Canada, Peru, or we split it into three different assets. These are some tremendous optionality things that we can capture as shareholders and reward investors going into the bull market. So, you know, we spent a lot of money, about $100 million to get here. And the outcome of that dollar has been not only a lot of knowledge on some world-class targets, either Committee Bay or down at Sombrero, and these opportunities that we've created and now Curibaya, but it's been to possibly create two or three shares, as people like Ross Beatty have done in the past, or Lucas Lundin has recently done, you know, in their companies. And if you're not getting paid for all three assets in one company, you know, why keep them all together is kind of the mentality. And the burn rate shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't burn two-thirds of your company, you know, for one asset, right?
Exactly, but I'm glad that you addressed that potential spin-off company, because that has been a number of questions that I've gotten in on the back of that. Final comment, though, regarding financing. Any updates that you can give us in terms of getting some more money in the door to move some more of the plans forward throughout this year?
Yeah, there's been tons of money offered, and there always is, but as we were last year, we did our own fundings. Basically, we've been very selective on who we've done financings with. We did not issue any warrants in our financings, although we did a small bridge loan and gave a very few warrants to a very supportive large shareholder in that process. But, you know, where we're at today is we're being really selective once again, and we're looking for like-minded investors that would see our projects the same way we do. And although the market's improved, you know, I don't see the institutional money still there yet to the level where we'd like to see it at for exploration. And I think that if we keep it close one more time here, it would be a more prudent way for us to fund ourselves and then look for the bigger financings down the road after drilling takes place and discoveries are made. Then we can do it at much better prices. But right now, I'd say for investors listening, there should be something in the near term, again, similar theme to last year, and it would be enough money to adequately fund ourselves into a lot of different options that I've just talked about. So nothing substantial in terms of a raise. There's not a lot of money needed, but something that would be keep us away from, you know, financing for a considerable period of time.
Okay. If anybody has any more questions for Ivan and the team over at Orin, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. In the meantime, we will follow along and hopefully see that DIA news come out in the next week or two. And then from there, let's get some more information on the drill program that could be underway. Ivan, good chatting with you. Sounds like it will be an interesting year in Peru for you as things start to fall in place after you have gone through the hoops that the government makes you go through. Ivan, great chatting with you. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it very much.